Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DGen Nation. It is DGen Nation after dark. It is a little later than normal. We had to postpone our normal Thursday recording for tonight because the Chiefs were playing. So shout out to Maddie for making that happen.
Yeah, lucky for you, they were able to pull out the win.
Yeah, I know. That was a little too close for comfort. And really, the Chiefs had no business really winning that game. They really did not look good for most of that game. Their defense, surprisingly enough, is what kept them in it. So anyway, so we are on to week two. And, you know, honestly, this is a pretty good slate. Because most of our top guys that we normally play are not on the slate, right? Like no Josh Allen, no Patrick Mahomes, no Herbert. No Jalen Hurts on this slate. I mean, there's just a lot. No Kirk Cousins. So there's just a lot of like really good fantasy or DFS options that are just not on this slate. And so we're only seeing three players that are priced over 7K, which is something we just don't normally see. So for me, with where ownership is starting to come in, so let's just get into it. Let's start with the quarterback position like we always do. I think there's a lot of really interesting leverage spots here on this slate and some just spots to get different in general. Because for most people, that people are going to see what the Chiefs did last week to the Cardinals secondary, and they're going to say, okay, well, I'm going to go to Derek Carr. And Derek Carr is only 6,200, and it makes it a kind of an easy stack to get to. So he's going to be very popular. But I would rather just get leverage off that and go to the other side of the football and go with Kyler Murray. And I also think that there's some really low-owned plays that we can look at. I think the three that I would be most interested in below 5,500 I think would be Jared Goff at 5,400. I think he's a really good play. I think you have Trevor Lawrence, which would be nice leverage off of probably off Jonathan Taylor, who's going to be really popular. And then I think you have Daniel Jones that I think you could get to as well. So, Maddie, where are you coming in this week?
Yeah, for me, it's really tough to not like the obvious guys. I mean, there's only, you know, a couple games that have respectable Vegas totals this week. I mean, you've got Detroit and Washington, which was 49.5 last I looked. It's one of the top ones. And then Vegas and Arizona was sitting at like 52 or 54. It was in the low 50s. So those were the two clear games that stood out from a Vegas standpoint. And then you've got the Rams, who they don't have as high of a game total, but that's because they're more of a lopsided, expected to, you know, kind of blow out Atlanta. So, you know, those are kind of the three games I kind of envision my QB to come from. I either want to, you know, load up on Stafford with the pass catchers. Cause I think Darrell Henderson's going to end up being semi-popular this week. And it wouldn't shock me at all if Cam Akers got more run here in week two. Because last week before week one, you know, we were just starting to get reports like early in the week saying Cam Akers hadn't even ramped up for a full workload yet. And then he finally, you know, was able to get in practices and was able to play limited snaps, but was able to play last week. So I'd be curious to see what the usage looks like for them this week. I wouldn't bank on Henderson getting the absolutely full workload here. I still think he's probably the lead guy until Akers gets his feet under him. But I think Akers is going to slowly eat into that. And you know, maybe Akers isn't fully healthy and doesn't, you know, take away the starting role at all. But I think he's going to take away enough work that it's going to be annoying, especially from a DFS perspective where, you know, you want your guy to be the main guy. And we'll talk about the Denver Broncos when we get to running back too. So It's hard to not like Stafford a lot. He's going to be popular, but you know, you can get a little bit creative with the rest of your roster. It's really hard not to like Derek Carr. You know, they were at the top of the league in neutral situation pass rate last week. And I know they were trailing a bunch, so they threw a ton, but even in those, like I said, those neutral situations, they still wanted to throw the ball. And I mean, you're not going to bring in Devontae Adams and just run the ball with Josh Jacobs. So I think that trend is here to stay. I think, you know, Carr with Waller and Adams is such an easy stack, and the stack run back on the other side this week is so easy with Greg Dortch. I mean, he led the team in targets. He's going to play all the snaps. Rondale Moore has already been ruled out again. I think Isabella was ruled out as well. So, I mean, that just cements him even more to just being on the field as long as he doesn't get hurt. So, it's a slot guy. We saw Keenan Allen and DeAndre Carter were absolutely destroying Las Vegas' slot corners last week. So, Greg Dortch is going to be a guy, whether I play Derek Carr or not, Greg Dortch is going to be a guy that I like, but he's definitely the run back there for the Derek Carr team. So I do like Carr, even though he's projecting to be the highest owned QB on the slate. It's the highest total game. They're favored by a touchdown, you know, playing at home. Devontae Adams, it's his first game with his grandma in attendance. So take with that what you will. But I think Derek Carr is going to throw a couple touchdowns. I think that, you know, two of them go to Devontae. So that's a stack, you know, that I really, really like this week, despite, you know, ownership's going to be high. And then I mentioned the Detroit Washington game. I think you can go with Goff or Carson Wentz. I mean, Wentz's weapons this year, they look legit, man. Curtis Samuel looks like a watered down version of Debo Samuel in the Washington offense compared to San Francisco. But I mean, he was heavily utilized at the line of scrimmage, was, you know, had rush attempts. It was just a, let's get the ball in his hands and just let him make plays kind of ordeal, which is, you know, what San Francisco tends to do with Debo. And the rookie, Dotson, he looks good. He looks like he could, you know, be legit here a couple years down the road, but even this year, he's going to get heavy usage and is going to be a starter. So, and that's not even talking about Terry McLaurin either. So, Carson Wentz has some weapons, and, you know, I feel like he's the type of guy that can thrive in a smaller market team. And when he's not under the big spotlight in Philly, or, you know, oh my gosh, he's been traded to Indy and now he's got to be the guy that leads Indy to be a Super Bowl contending team. Now that he's in Washington and can just sling it around, it just feels like the environment that he's going to have success in after seeing him, you know, week one, just out there chucking it around against Jacksonville. So the Lions defense is not anything to write home about. They're awful. We saw it last week. Jalen Hurts absolutely shredded them. AJ Brown absolutely shredded them. I think Washington can put up another big week this week, and Vegas agrees. It's second highest total game on the slate. And if you look at their pieces, Wentz is under 6K. Curtis Samuel's 4,600. Dotson's 4,200. Logan Thomas, if you want to play the tight end, is in the 3K range. So you can stack up the Washington offense for free, have exposure to the second highest total on the total game on the slate, and still be able to fit in, you know, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Saquon Barkley, guys like that. So Washington is a team that I'm, you know, messing around with in my build for this week. So it's going to come down to one of those three, I think, for me, between Wentz and hit the cheap Washington stack, Carr with Waller and Adams, or Stafford with Kupp, and maybe Allen Robinson.
I mean, it's hard not to like those three. I mean, especially Carr, like you mentioned, he's so cheap at 6,200. I don't think DraftKings did a great job this week on pricing. Some of it's kind of soft, but
yeah,
you know, especially like even somebody like Tom Brady at 6,400. I mean, it's just kind of wild to me. Like, why is he not in the 7K range? But I do agree.
I would have Brady interest. He was somebody I briefly looked at if they weren't dealing with all those injuries. Have you seen their injury list for this week?
Yeah, I mean, you have Godwin, you have Julio Jones, who's nicked up already dealing with an injury. I mean, they're missing a lot.
Evans is questionable.
Yeah. So, yeah, that game could end up just being a really ugly game that I'd rather just avoid.
How many targets do you think Fournette's going to get? I mean, he's the last man standing, right?
Yeah, and he's not even expensive. I think he's like 6,700, 6,800, something like that.
Yeah, and we just saw, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson just absolutely shredded that Saints defense last week too. So,
yeah. But I think for me, I think at quarterback this week, like I said, like if I'm going to pay down, I really like that under $5,500 range. Like, because I like Goff at his price at $5,400. Again, another one that you can get. You know, his pass catchers aren't extremely expensive. Amon-Ra St. Brown is decently priced. I mean, he's not like hard to get to. He's $6,500, but I think he can absolutely shred this Washington secondary. We saw him last week get a ton of targets in that, you know, in that game. So the whole narrative this offseason that it was all because of Hockenson and Swift are out. That's the only reason why he saw that target. No, in fact, you know, he's actually just good at football. And so I love Amon-Ra St. Brown this week. He's going to be one of my high, you know, probably my highest owned one of my highest owned wide receivers this week. But just a quick, but so I think you could stack it with him. If you want to go with Hockenson, I think you can get a little bit different doing so with that. So I do like going with Goff, and I think it's gonna be a little bit different. Again, you're getting access to one of the highest total games on the slate. And I mean, they're right up there as well. I mean, they actually have the fourth highest implied point total this week. The Lions do at 25. I really like the Lions offense this week. This another game that really just has a recipe to be an absolute shootout.
I will play Goff probably. My stack will probably be Goff, Amon-Ra, Hockenson with a Dotson run back if DeAndre Swift is out. I'll preface that with saying I still like Goff regardless, but I will be much, much more interested in Goff if Swift is out. And that's because they're not just going to lean on Jamal Williams. I think Goff will get a slight bump in pass attempts. Like same ordeal we saw with Baltimore last week, right? Where, you know, Dobbins is out and Gus Edwards is out, and they're just relying on Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis, and Lamar just chucked it around all game long. So that's the kind of expectation I would have for the Lions if Swift were to miss. And it sounds like he's dealing with an ankle injury. He's probably going to play, but just wanted to, you know, preface that with saying I would have heavy interest, because I don't think, you know, Washington's defense is anything spectacular, with especially until Chase Young gets back. So
well, we're not really worried about it either, because I mean the Lions have like a top five offensive line.
And Goff is getting rid of the ball really fast too. So, yeah. The pass rush isn't going to be an issue.
It's really an easy stack to get to. And so that's just why I like Goff a lot this week. I think people are going to, I haven't looked at really ownership to know, to really, you know,
he's low.
Well, I figured he was, but I assume that Carson Wentz would probably be a little bit higher up on the list. Not probably drastically. But
they're both at 5%. Because
I feel like ownership for the most part is going to be pretty flat this week with the way, you know, this slate breaks up. And so I think going something like that, I think, is definitely an option. And then, you know, I kind of talked about Trevor Lawrence. That is a very easy stack to get to as well, with a lot of cheap options there. I mean, he was last week. He was okay. He wasn't great. I did throw for 275 yards, but only one passing touchdown. James Robinson, you know, got a couple of those in that game, but he still scored about 14.5 and at his price. You know, this is going to be a pretty good test for them going up against the Colts, but, you know, at home. And I'm sure the Colts want a little revenge after the Jaguars knocking them out of the playoffs last year. But so for me, I just, you know, if you're wanting to get a little bit different, that's kind of where I would go. Now, if I'm going to play up top, you know, like I said, I think Kyler does make some sense. You know, especially with his rushing ability and his rushing floor, you know, his rushing floor that he's going to have. You know, I think this offense can be better than what we saw last week. It was not great, obviously, last week against the Chiefs, but he still wasn't terrible. Almost 200 yards passing, two touchdowns. The game was pretty much over by the second half in last week. So I think this week they could keep it a little bit closer. So I do like Kyler Murray. I absolutely think Greg Dortch is someone we talked about last week as being a play. I think he is an excellent play. I mean, he played almost all the snaps last week. So I think he tied for the team lead in targets last week. I think he had 9. So, I mean, he makes for a ton of sense. I'm surprised he's not more popular than what he is. He didn't seem like he's as popular as people as I was expecting him to be because at that price. And so, you know, Kyler Murray with a stack of something like that. And then, you know, I think if you wanted to even put James Conner into that mix, I think you definitely could, because his pass catching usage that he's going to see. And so I think Kyler Murray at $7,500, I don't think he's going to have the ownership that he should, because, and I think it's pretty good leverage off of Carr in that same game that people are going to want to get to, with him being the highest owned. And let's be honest, like 15% is anything crazy, right? And, you know, we talk a lot about fading chalk, and sometimes it's okay to play chalk. Like, it's like,
for sure,
you just have to make a few little changes, right? instead of, you can't just have a, you know, you don't want to necessarily go all chalk, but you make a couple of different changes with your stack. You know, if you are going to go with Carr, maybe go to, you know, you maybe fade Devontae Adams and go Waller and Renfro or something like that. I think that's a way to get a little bit different.
It's also better too, instead of like, so like people get this misconception too, like, oh, I have to fade the 20% guy. So let me fade this, you know, these two 20% guys and play, you know, a couple 10% guys, when in reality, it's better to play the 20% guy and then play a 1% or 2% guy with that guy. So like, if it's okay, you know, like you're saying, Kev, it's okay to eat good chalk sometimes, as long as your lineup is going to be unique in some sort of fashion. If you've got a 1% guy that is slate breaking, that is paired with the optimal best play on the slate, and probably this week, the most optimal, and this may be a good segue into running back, the most optimal play on this week's slate is probably Saquon Barkley, because he's barely priced at 7K, 25 opportunities last week, 7 targets, 18 carries. He looked absolutely electric. I don't know how you just don't click the plus sign next to Saquon Barkley's name, but he's going to be the highest, probably the highest owned skill position player, not named Bengals defense. So, you know, don't just fade Saquon because he's going to be popular. Just if you're playing Saquon, you know, make sure, you know, pair it with, you know, like a Jared Goff team. Jared Goff's going to be 5% and Hawkinson's going to be low owned, and Amon-Ra should be, you know, his ownership will be relatively in check. Like that's how you can get different with your Saquon teams. I wouldn't pair, you know, Saquon with Derek Carr and Devontae Adams and, you know, Cooper Kupp and all of those guys together in one team, because then your team is just going to look, you know, you're going to be overlapping with a lot of guys, and it's going to come down to like a 2v2 with, you know, with who's got the best 2v2, it comes out ahead. So, you know, give yourself a good, you know, good bulk of guys in your team that are different. But I don't know. Did you have anybody else to add at QB, or you want to move ahead to running back?
No, I think we hit on the main names that I think most people are going to want to play. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson is viable at home at 7,400. He always is because, of, again, somebody with his rushing upside that he brings. We didn't talk about Russell Wilson. I think that he is definitely in play for a big bounce-back performance this week at 7,200. He's really easy to stack because Cortland Sutton is not priced up. He's only 6,100. Yep. And then Judy's like 5,600.
Oh, man, I this is Sutton week. I'm telling you, this is Sutton week. He's 6,100. He was underthrown a couple times last week by Russ, and Russ just didn't really give him a chance, but Russ is one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL. And, you know, now they're going against Houston in Denver. It's not even in Houston. And Sutton, no, people aren't going to play Sutton. They're going to play Judy after last week. And, Javonte Williams looks like he's going to be popular too. So, It just has all the makings for Sutton. Sutton's going to blow the slate open, I think. I wouldn't be shocked if he went 7 for 130 and 2 touchdowns. All that to say, I like Russ too.
Yeah. So I think those are the really viable options. Past that, like, you could play Joe Burrow. I don't think you really need to at 6,600. And then, you know, Stafford is definitely in play, but you've already talked about him. Derek Carr is definitely in play. So, I mean, I think that's really where I come in at for the most part for these quarterbacks. Yeah, let's just go ahead and jump over to running back. So I think there's a lot of interesting options here. You have, you know, Jonathan Taylor, who's massively priced up at 9,900. Christian McCaffrey, who's 8,900. And then you have Kamara at 74. Barkley, like we've already talked about, 73. Joe Mixon, who I think is going to be popular at 7,200. Nick Chubb at 7,100. DeAndre Swift, who's questionable but probably plays. He's 7K. And then, you know, you have the, you know, the below group of Connor, Fournette, Kareem Hunt, Javonte, Najee, Antonio Gibson, Melvin Gordon, Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, those are all your 6K and above running backs this week. And I think there's a lot of different ways you can go here. You know, we talked about Leonard Fournette. I mean, he could see a massive target share in this offense this week, especially with all the injuries they're dealing with. Though I will say even Leonard Fournette is questionable heading into this game as well with the hamstring. So
that whole team is. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably going to play, but if he doesn't, it's just absolute wheels up for Rashad White.
He would be a lock. Absolutely,
yeah,
he would
be a lock. Yeah, and so, like,
that's he's legit good.
Let me ask you, though, this. I actually think, and I don't know how your thoughts are on this, but I actually think Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, pairing them together in the same game, I think is a way you could go. I don't think anybody's going to do it. Like, I think either people are going to play McCaffrey or they're going to play Barkley. And more people are going to play Barkley than they're going to play McCaffrey McCaffrey's so much more expensive. But I think you could actually play them together.
I think CMC and Taylor are going to come in lower owned this week. Taylor, JT is just, I'm just crossing him off. I'm not paying $10K for JT. He doesn't catch enough passes for that. I mean, he can maybe, you know, if he gets you 25, that's not good enough for 10K. Like you're looking for 35 to 40 from a 10K guy. So I'm crossing JT off, but to touch on your CMC point, I just don't know how I feel about CMC with Baker Mayfield. We've seen, you know, these running backs that have pass catching upside that just don't catch passes from Baker. Like Chubb had all the pass catching upside in the world. That guy is a good pass catcher and got like two targets a game. And even Kareem Hunt, you know, even when he was involved with Cleveland, I mean, he wasn't getting but you know, four or five targets in passing situations. So I just think the days of with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, the days of CMC getting these 10 to 12 to 15 target games, I just don't know that we're going to see those. I think, you know, targets to the running back position are just more of a quarterback stat than they are an actual running back stat. Because, I mean, you look at Carson Wentz, right? That's a guy that has historically loved throwing to running backs. And Antonio Gibson just set his career high in targets last week. Kamara, a guy that, you know, should be getting around eight targets a week from the running back position, got like four from Jameis Winston. And that's because Winston would rather throw the ball 50 yards downfield than, you know, dump it off to Kamara. So it's like, I'm weary on playing an $8,900 Christian McCaffrey when it seems like most of his production is going to have to come on the ground. I want Baker to prove to me that he is willing to pepper CMC with targets over and over and over again, as opposed to trying to work the ball downfield to Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. So, but again, it's CMC, right? So he absolutely could go out there and, you know, catch 8 or 10 passes. It's in his realm of possibilities. I just think with Baker at QB, for me, that end of the spectrum is a little bit less likely to happen.
Well, I mean, I don't think he was terrible. I mean, the Panthers only threw the ball last week 27 times as well. So like, they didn't really, you know, need to really open it up too much. And I mean, Christian McCaffrey still had a 16% target share in the offense, which is really good. And yeah, it was only four targets, but like I said, they were on a team that really threw the ball a ton last week. You know,
but I mean, are they going to be necessarily required to throw it this week against the Giants?
And they may not be. And that might be something that where we have to take a look at. And maybe that's why he's not as sexy of a play, but we know the elite upside that he carries. Mm-hmm. In this offense, and the Giants defense is still really bad. Their pass defense is still really bad. They were bottom half in pass DVOA last year. They're already, you know, it is only 1 week, but they're coming 31st in pass DVOA, right behind the Arizona Cardinals in pass DVOA. And so I think there's definitely some opportunities here for the Giants to throw the ball a little bit more. And the Panthers, and especially I think the Giants could make this a little bit of a game and maybe a little bit higher scoring than what we're projecting. So it's not an elite play, and it's not something like, you know, that I think that, you know, that it's just a smash play, but I don't mind getting there at 8,900 because I know Saquon Barkley is going to be really expensive. He's coming off a monster performance. Mm-hmm. He was chalk last week, but he absolutely crushed last week mm-hmm. at just sitting crazy, just ridiculously low what's the word I'm looking for? Cost at price that he was last
6K.
Week.
6K, stupid.
Yeah, and so it was just stupid, right? And so now, I mean, they bumped up 7,300, but 7,300 is still too cheap for him. I mean, I think he should be a guy that's probably more in that 8K range for what he brings to the table. I agree. And especially with the insane usage that he got, right? And so, it's just something that I was kind of toying around with playing both of them in the same game. You don't have to, especially if you're wanting to pay up a wide receiver at some of the other, you know, pay up options. If you're wanting to go to Cooper Kupp, who feels a little bit safer. I mean, the guy is just locked in for so many targets every week, and now you're getting him against, you know, arguably one of the worst secondaries in the league in Atlanta. So it makes some sense. So if you're gonna have to make some sacrifices if you're wanting to play Cooper Kupp, you know, at his price at 9,900, same price as Jonathan Taylor, almost 10K. And so it was just something I was looking at. But I would agree that I think there's just a lot of other, you know, cheaper running backs that do make a lot of sense, like Javonte Williams at 6,500 against Houston. We just saw what Jonathan Taylor did to this defense. You know, I think it was really encouraging with Javonte that he saw 12 targets last week, which is just ridiculous. And I think
they were trailing, but that game wasn't like where they just abandoned the run completely. Like that was, you know, those were a lot of those were scripted or designed for him. And it seems like, you know, the words that are coming out of the beat reporters in Denver is that, you know, that's going to be something that is a priority all year is to get the ball into Javonte's hands in the pass game. So.
Yeah. I mean, and I thought it was funny because some of the stuff we were hearing over camp was that Melvin Gordon was going to be the pass catching guy. And I'm like, that makes no sense because Melvin Gordon was not good at all in the passing game last year. Like his yards per out run were like under one, which is terrible. And Javonte Williams, I think he was like top 12, top 15, I think, in yards per out run last year among running backs. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense that that was whatever narrative that people were trying to put out there. So, I love Javonte this week at 6,500. I think he's – I don't know what his ownership is going to come in at, but I would suggest with that price against Houston that it's going to be decently high. I don't think it's going to be anything ridiculous, but I think he's definitely going to carry ownership for sure. I'm guessing probably somewhere in that 15-18% range, I would guess.
Yeah, 18 is what I see on my end.
Yeah. And so I don't mind that, especially at the price of where he's at. I also think Antonio Gibson, somebody that I talked about last week that I absolutely loved as an option, I think he's in play once again this week at 6,200. Still a little bit too cheap against Detroit. I like that a lot, you know, in that range. But I just think there's a lot of different directions you can go here. James Conner, we already talked about last week. Again, they got absolutely wrecked, but he still had a pretty solid game, almost about 16.5. He saw, I think, 6 targets in that game as well. Ran a lot of routes for this team, and he's clearly locked in number one running back here in this offense. And somebody that could see a lot of targets. So if the Cardinals can keep this game close, I think it does make some sense to go with a $6,900 James Conner, which is going to be, you know, a lot of leverage off of like a Leonard Fournette, who I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards if a lot of these other pass catchers are out, because people are going to expect that he's going to see 10 plus targets. And, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, DeAndre Swift at 7K, but Barkley 7,300. Like, I think that's a good point to get into and get James Conner at 6,900. It's probably not going to carry much ownership.
Yeah. And then we've got, you know, some injury situations that have presented some interesting scenarios this week. Like if Swift were to miss, you'd obviously have Jamal Williams, but Jamal Williams usually doesn't crush in the feature role. So he would become popular, but would be a guy that I would actually want to fade. So he's not somebody that I'd be interested in. We also have the San Francisco 49ers backfield with no Elijah Mitchell. That's kind of a gross situation that I'm not sure I want to touch with a 10-foot pole until, you know, we see another week. Cause I mean, Davis Price is definitely going to be active this week. Trey Lance he had 13 carries last week on the ground himself. And Elijah Mitchell pretty much missed the whole game, and Wilson didn't even eclipse, you know, 10 carries. So, you know, and this Jordan Mason kid, you know, he looks good in the preseason and is somebody that, you know, should get a decent amount of run too. So it really could end up being a 3 or 4 man rushing carousel. So I would expect Jeff Wilson's going to get a little bit of ownership this week. And that's somebody that I'm looking to fade as well. Cause you really want to attack, which we saw with Javonte, you want to attack these pass catchers out of the backfield against Seattle. And I just don't know. I mean, Wilson, he can catch passes. Okay. But he's not somebody that's going to be like Javonte and get out there and, you know, get 12 targets. So I'm probably off the San Francisco backfield. And then I do want to mention, probably not playing him this week, but somebody I am just going to wait until the right matchup for is Travis Etienne. He looked in his limited touches last week against Washington. He looked phenomenal. So the explosiveness is there. The same explosiveness we saw in college where, you know, he was over 200 yards from scrimmage with 12 touches at Clemson. So in one game. So, you know, things like that. And I mean, you could just see he's got that spark every time he touches the ball. So I just don't know that he can do, you know, do what he needs to do to win me a tournament against Indianapolis. But he's definitely interesting at 5,600. He's somebody that I have to, you know, think twice about, because if his eight touches go to, you know, say 14, that's somebody that is way too cheap for him to get 14 touches. So I think he's appropriately priced until we know that he's going to get a boost in workload. And I just don't know that that's going to happen yet, but I think he's interesting.
Yeah. And by the way, Walido, appreciate the super chat as always.
As always.
Yes. So I think if you're wanting to pay down, like, I kind of like Chase Edmonds. Like, if you look at him last week, the way he was utilized, I mean, he had 72% of the opportunities in his backfield, which was a lot higher than I was expecting for him. Like, I thought he was going to come in like that 55-60% range. He had 12 carries, 4 targets last week, had about a 14% target share in that offense. I mean, as always, he's always very efficient as a pass catcher. He had a 10-yard yard per reception, but obviously it's one game. But he was also 8th in yards per out run last week as well among running backs. So I like Chase Edmonds. It's kind of, if you're wanting to pay down a little bit at 5,200, and especially in a game where we're likely going to see more points. They're going to have to throw the ball. Last week, they were blessed, you know, get to play that just horrific Patriots offense. And so this week, you know, going up against Baltimore on the road, you know, yes, that's a good defense, but I think you could see a little bit more checkdowns to somebody like a Chase Edmonds this week and be more involved in the passing, because he's definitely the pass-catching running back. So 5,200 Chase Edmonds, I think, is just a very good spot to get to if you're looking for some upside. Like, he's not going to be somebody that's going to get goal line carries or anything like that. It's just not his game. I think over the past, like, in his career, I think he only has, like, 3 goal line carries in his entire career. That's just not how he scores. But, you know, if he can be somebody that can get you at 5,200, I mean, if you can get, you know, 15, 16, 17 DK points out of him, you'll take that all day.
That game's interesting for me, Miami and Baltimore.
I think it definitely has some shootout appeal, right?
With, it does.
You know, with the added weapons they have there with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle and, you know.
And
you
Fuller know, just went down, too, for the year for the Ravens cornerback situation.
Yeah. So I think that game has a little bit of a sneaky upside to have some appeal here. So I want a little bit of access to that game. And like I said, going with like a Chase Edmonds at 5,200, I think can make a lot of sense for the upside that I think that he does possess. Is there any running backs that are sub 5K that you have any interest in outside of like, you know, like Leonard Fournette somehow not playing this week and then you want to play Rashad White, but you know, but that's not really a, you know, realistic option right now. I don't think he's going to miss. Is there anybody there below that? Because there's not for me. I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't think you need to.
No, I don't think you need to either. I wouldn't get cute at running back.
Okay. Just to kind of narrow it down, like who are your top 3 right now running backs that you're looking to play, regardless of price?
So we didn't touch on Mixon either. I think he's definitely in the conversation too. Against Dallas and a game they should easily win. And T. Higgins is, you know, fighting through a concussion protocol. And, you know, there's just Mixon's just going to keep getting a ton of touches. And I know the Bengals ran a bazillion plays. It was like 90 something plays or something last week. Cause, you know, they were in overtime, but I mean, 27 carries and 9 targets. That's, you know, 36 opportunities in a game that, you know, they ran more plays than they're probably going to run the rest of all year. So you can't really project that at all for Mixon to happen again. But 7,200 for a guy that, you know, can score multiple touchdowns and is likely going to go overlooked. I mean, I'm looking at the running back ownerships and I mean, he's coming in around like 14%. So, I mean, not too terribly low, but again, I still don't think it's high enough for a guy of his caliber, but my top 3 probably would be Saquon, Fournette, as long as he plays. I'll say it's a tie between Connor and Javonte Williams. Cause I think both of them have a very similar outlook for me. I don't think neither guy is going to get, you know, 25 touches, but both can be heavily utilized in the pass game and both can score 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Saquon as well. And then I'm going to go with Javonte at 2 and then Connor 3. And then I think just right behind that would be either Antonio Gibson or Chase Edmonds.
Okay.
What kind of where I'd come in at running back. So I just kind of want to narrow it down because we've had some plays before that we talk about everybody and, you know, we don't really. So just kind of want to clear it up a little bit, like kind of who the guys were actually on. I know we can talk about some of the more of these guys, just kind of talk through them, but, you know, so we can kind of clear up who we're actually on this week. So
yeah. And Gibson is absolutely very interesting to me too. Like I said, like I already prefaced.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, I think running back targets are more of a quarterback stat for guys that can catch passes. And, you know, Wentz has just historically been a guy that just targets the running back position over and over again. So, you know, Gibson seeing a career high in targets last week, even with McKissick playing, you know, is something that we definitely need to take into consideration. And Philly just scored, what, 4 rushing touchdowns against Detroit last week? Five?
Yeah,
there's a lot. Yeah, I think every running back on the roster and Jalen Hurts scored a touchdown.
And again, I mean, this is short sample size, but still, I mean, he handled 78% of the opportunities, which was 8th among all running backs last week. 14 carries, 8 targets, which I think is surprising because I think a lot of people looked at Gibson that he was going to kind of be the 1-2 guy the first second down, and then you were going to get McKissick coming on the second down. But he got 8 targets last week. It wasn't even that. I mean, he had a 19.5% target share. He was also 13th in routes run among all running backs. He was 2nd in yards per route run. So, I mean, he played really well last week. And so,
like, we've seen him smash before, like on just a weekly basis. Like,
he's 6,200 and he's going to get the goal line work. Yep. We're not worried about that. We're not worried about somebody coming in and taking his touches away or sniping a goal line rush away
from him. As long as he doesn't fumble, that's the one issue he has.
If
he fumbles, he could end up in the doghouse. But as long as he doesn't fumble, I mean, he could easily house something against Detroit or get 2 rushing touchdowns and, you know, have 6 catches for 50 yards and, you know, 80 rush yards and score twice. Like, he absolutely could produce a tournament winning score. And he's only 6,200.
All right, fuck it. I'm going Saquon. I'm going Saquon, Gibson, and then Connor. That's who I'm going to go with.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. If there's any other, if you don't have any other running backs that you think we desperately need to hit on, let's jump over to.
No, I think that's good.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump over to wide receiver. So wide receiver, again, we already talked about it, Cups, 9,900, which is just, I don't know if he was ever that much last year. I don't remember him being that much last year, but he was not. Yeah. So they just sent him straight to the moon, but you know, it's hard not to when he scored his 34.8 week one. Just coming right back to where he started left off last year. But then you have Devontae Adams, who's 8,600. Jamar Chase at 8K, and then you drop down to the 7K range. There's only 2 players there with Debo and Tyreek Hill are both at 7K. And then you have CeeDee Lamb at 6,900, Mike Evans, who's 6,800. Michael Pittman got a little bit of a bump. He's still not as high as he should be at 6,700. McLaurin, 6,600. Amon-Ra St. Brown, we've already talked about that I absolutely love this week, is 6,500. And then Jalen Waddle, 64. Metcalf, 63. Marquise Brown, 62. Chris Godwin, who has been ruled out. And then you have Cortland Sutton at 6,100 and Brandon Cooks, Walido's man, at 6K, wrapping it up. So where are you coming in at wide receiver this week? Are you going to play Cooper Kupp at 9,900? Are you going to eat that and then just and try to figure it out somewhere else? Or are you going to avoid him?
I'm starting my teams. I think the first guy I include on every team is probably going to be Davante Adams. Like I already mentioned, we have grandma in the house this week, and you know, I know you, I was busting your balls about Juju, you know, and how he had a terrible game against the Chargers last night. But I think the telling thing was, you know, how good of a game he had against Arizona in week one. And it's just, the Arizona has no answer for anything. Their defense is horrible. The Chiefs scored 44 points. And we just saw, you know, Devontae just shredded these good corners in against the Chargers, you know, to the tune of 17 targets and 140 yards and touchdowns. So I think Davante Adams is anything but a sure, I think he's a sure bet to score 30 plus here, and 8,600 is, you know, I'm good with paying that price. And I'm going to see if I can, you know, get a build to where I can get Cooper Kupp on a team as well, but I don't think that he's as somebody I'm high priority on, because I think there are cheaper guys. Like I already mentioned my love for Courtland Sutton this week, and I think he can definitely produce a tournament winning score at $6,100. Like that is too cheap for a guy that can go for 130 and two touchdowns with Russell Wilson as his QB. So to answer your question, Davante Adams is where I'm starting my teams. And then I'm probably going to load up in that 6K range. I mean, Amon-Ra's down there. Sutton's down there. DJ Moore's 5,700. That feels way too cheap. And he's probably the guy that I would, you know, like to run back with Saquon as a mini stack there. I think DJ Moore would probably be my pick if I was playing one Carolina guy over him over Christian McCaffrey. If you're not playing Cooper Kupp and you're not playing Henderson, I mean, the Rams have the highest total, the team total on the week. So it's hard to not click Allen Robinson's name at 5,500 after he just burned everybody in week one. Everybody, you know, was so high on him in training camp. He's looked very good, or have been all the reports and everything. Comes out and puts up a two target dud in week one in prime time. So I think he's a big candidate for a bounce back against Atlanta. He's somebody that I'm interested in. You know, outside of that, Jarvis Landry is somebody that saw a million targets in week one, which what year are we in? Or is this 2017? I mean, what's going on here? So he's interesting. Sterling Shepard, he saw good production in week one, and Wandale Robinson's already been ruled out. Kadarius Toney's questionable. So, you know, that Giants offense is already thin as it is a wide receiver, which, you know, could just mean more Saquon dump offs, which I'd be cool with, but, and then we already touched on Washington, but the Washington guys are just way too cheap. Curtis Samuel's 4,600 and Dotson's 4,200. And I think those two guys are just going to have too much time on the field, too many opportunities this year for that to end up being their prices. I think both of them end up in the 5,500, 6K range when it's all said and done. So I think those guys are way too cheap.
I think when you look at this, like, so you have like the top guys, right? And like we kind of talked about, like Cooper Kupp has to score like 40, in my opinion, yep, to be able to pay that off.
You're looking right? for 4X. Yeah. 4X 10 is 40.
Yeah. And so like if he does it, he's not really worth that price. Now, I guess, I mean, if he scores 30, but nobody else goes off and he's like, you know, then okay. But for the most part, though, what it ends up doing to the rest of your team, because you just paid $9,900 to get Cooper Kupp mm-hmm. in the lineup, you know, I think it changes a lot, and I can force you into certain type of builds if you're going to do that. And if yep. you want to play any of the expensive running backs to go with that. So I don't think you have to go there. Yes, it's an elite matchup against Atlanta, but I just don't think that's something that you have to do at 9,900 whenever you have Davante Adams talked about in a great matchup, 8,600, even Jamar Chase at 8K. I mean, he may end up just absolutely roasting Diggs there, who looks completely lost yep. as a corner. You know, I think that, you know, those, you know, both of those guys can easily match what he can do. And then I even think like somebody like Tyreek, who we know how explosive he can be. Mm-hmm. If he can find the end zone, he didn't score a touchdown last week with 7,100 against this aging, really Baltimore secondary that they have. And so, you know, Tyreek, I think at 7,100 is just too cheap for that price tag and kind of the elite upside that we know he carries. I mean, he's somebody that can go out and give you 50 DK points. It is in his range of possibilities. He's done it before. And so I do like that. I just don't think you have to go there. I already talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Absolutely love him. I love him in a stack. I love him outside of a stack as a, you know, if you want to do a mini stack here with like him and Jahan Dotson or something like that. I think that is something, you know, that you should definitely be looking at. But I just love Amon-Ra St. Brown. Targeted 12 times last week, and especially if no DeAndre Swift. I think it just kind of opens things up a little bit more. So I do like him. We've already talked about Cortland Sutton. I don't need to go into that, but I totally agree. Love Cortland Sutton at 6,100. You also have KJ Hamler, who's going to be out this week. So I think it really just kind of narrows the target share down even more. There's no Tim Patrick. He's rolled out for the year. So really, to me, it's, you know, I think Judy and Cortland Sutton, I think, are both in play. I think Judy probably gets more ownership because he's cheaper, and he had the bigger game last week against the Seahawks, which I think there's no – I love going Sutton. He's obviously their deep threat, their big playability guy. I think they get on track this week, so I like him at 6,100. We talked about the Jaguars. Christian Kirk, I think, is an interesting play at 5,700. He was very good last week. You know, they kind of showed why they paid so much money for him. But I like him as well. And then if you want to go down even further, I was kind of hoping that Tyler Boyd or that if T. Higgins was out, then Tyler Boyd could be a thing. But now it looks like T. Higgins is trending towards playing. He got in a full practice. He's kind of went through the whole cycle now. I think he has to get through one more thing tomorrow, and he'll be cleared to play on Sunday. So at this point, I would be really surprised if he didn't play. So I expect him to play, and so that kind of lowers down whatever I felt about him. But I do think Sterling Shepard, which I believe you mentioned, but at 4,900, he has a great rapport with Daniel Jones. It's just Daniel Jones and really Sterling Shepard, for that matter, haven't been able to stay healthy. So I think Sterling Shepard is actually a really sneaky play, and this is an offense that's missing a lot of its weapons already. You know, Wandell, I don't know if Kadarius Toney's going to play, and Kenny Galladay is just washed. I mean, he's just, I don't even know if he's actually ever been good at football, to be honest. Like, an actual ever great wide receiver. It very well could have been Matthew Stafford that made him, yep. and not anything else. Because since he's left Matt Stafford, he has been absolutely a zero. Like, he's been nothing. Like, he's been the one of the worst contracts that we've seen given up in a long time in terms of return on investment. So I do think that Sterling Shepard is a very sneaky play. He plays in the slot. And so I just think he could be a guy that gets, you know, 12 targets or something like that this week. He only saw four last week, but he did have 71 yards and a touchdown last week. Did break off a long, I think it was like a 60-yard touchdown pass that he had. So I do think $4,900 Sterling Shepard, I like him a lot. And then if you want to go down past that, you know, you've already talked a lot about Jahan Dotson. I think he is in play at 4,200. And then past that, like in terms of like cheap wide receivers, like as part of a stack, fine. Like if you did a Matt Ryan's, like, you know, Dortch for sure. But like if you're, you know, some of these guys that could be part of a stack that you could possibly stick in there, like a, I don't know, maybe a, no, that there's really nobody actually. No, the more I think about it, no, there's really nobody at 3K outside of Greg Dortch, I think, is the only option. Unless maybe you want to go like a Paris Campbell or an Ashton Doolin. That is like super thin. Alec Pierce is out for this game. He has a concussion. He won't play.
Pittman might not play.
Who?
Pittman.
Oh, he's going to play.
I wouldn't be so sure. He went from limited on Wednesday to DMP Thursday, and then today they pretty much canceled practice because they had so many injured guys.
They
labeled him as a limited participant in a practice that they didn't even practice. So I think he's truly questionable.
I don't know. We'll see.
Which, if Pittman and Pierce are out, I mean, that leaves what, Paris Campbell and Doolin?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you'd be looking at. Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys would definitely become in play. And then I know you talked about Kirk, but the other guy in Jacksonville, I mean, well, the other two guys, really, I mean, you know, Marvin Jones, he can score twice on any given day. You know, we know he's a touchdown threat, but also Zay Jones had 9 targets last week and he's 4,300. So yeah. Jacksonville is just a wide receiver room I'm going to keep eyes on as the year goes on. I just feel like Indy is a team that just limits big plays, and they just force you to, you know, be consistent and move down the field methodically. And I mean, both the touchdowns last week came to the tight end position. So OJ Howard, shout out OJ, but yeah, Hines. I mean, Hines, I think if Pittman were to miss, Hines is not somebody we touched on at the running back position, but I mean, it logically makes a ton of sense, right? You have a pass catching guy that needs to come in and get more, you know, soak up more of the targets because they're just short on bodies that can catch passes. So Hines would definitely be in play. And saw 6 targets last week too.
Yeah, no, I think he'd be very viable. I still think that he plays because it sounds like the hamstring injury. So it happened in Wednesday's practice. So him not practicing on Thursday isn't shocking. And then today, if he was able to get back to limited, if he would have practiced, I think I don't know. I would be surprised if he didn't play. We'll see on that. If he doesn't, then yes, I think then you.
I will say I'm not playing Pittman this week. I think he's still priced maybe a little bit too cheap for what his role is going to be this year, but the hamstring just concerns me. And that's an injury that you can easily re-injure. So Pittman is not a guy I will be on, even if he plays.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I don't hate him. Obviously it's a good matchup against Jacksonville, but yeah, I mean the re-injury thing is certainly a concern and something that should be mentioned, but yeah. So I guess let's do it again, unless you have any other wide receivers you really want to hit on.
No, I'm good.
So, like, just who are your top five? Let's go top five wide receivers, a little more options. Who are your top five wide receivers?
Adams, Sutton are definitely my 1-2. I think Dortch would probably be my favorite value, so I'm going to throw him in as 3, just from a point per dollar. Then I really also like Amon-Ra. We'll throw him in there. And let's round it out with Dotson. I'll throw him in there too.
Okay, I like that. All right, I'm gonna throw Devontae Adams in there as well, but I'm going to go with Jamar Chase, which seems like low-hanging fruit. But then, no, actually, you know what? You already have Adams. I'm going to go Chase. I'm going to go Tyreek Hill. And then I'm going to go Amon-Ra. Amon-Ra, I'd probably have it 1. And then Sutton, 4, and then I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to drop Allen Robinson at 5. I think is definitely another guy
I
have as well. Like I think nobody's going to play him after how bad he was last week, and he did absolutely nothing. And I feel like that he's probably.
I think it's irresponsible too to just not play any Rams. I mean, the Rams are going to score a ton of points, right? And if you're not if you're not playing Kupp and you're not sold on Henderson. And we think Akers is still banged up. I mean, it just makes sense that Allen Robinson would catch a touchdown or two. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. And then, like I said, just my, kind of off the wall guys I like are Sterling Shepard for sure. Christian Kirk. And, I don't know. I think Chris Olave is kind of interesting too. This is kind of the big three, big play threat in this offense. So. That's kind of where I'll be coming in at. So anyways, if you don't have any other wide receivers, we're going to jump over to tight end.
Yep, I'm good.
Okay, so at tight end, we have Mark Andrews at 6,400. Kittle, who's 5,900, who's still questionable. But, he did return to practice today. He was limited and, take it for face value. But Kyle Shanahan said he looked awesome today. And then you had Darren Waller, who's 5,600. Kyle Pitts, who's 5,400. Schultz at 5,200, TJ Hockenson at 4,700, Zach Ertz, Patty Fry, Mike Gesicki. Why is he still 4,300? Like, I wouldn't play him, like, even if he was 2K. Like, I want no issue. I want no part of Mike Gesicki. And then Higbee and Fant wrap out your top in that 4K range. Are you wanting to play anybody up here?
Up at the top?
Just in the 4K and above.
Yeah, Waller. I like the idea of a Carr Waller Adams stack. So Waller's somebody I like, and I'm gonna play Adams. So if I'm playing Waller, Carr will definitely be on that team. Hockenson is another good one from the Detroit Washington game. We talked about how much we love that game. He's absolutely in play. Higbee's interesting. He got 11 targets. I know that. The Rams were trailing Buffalo the whole time, but I mean, if Robinson, if you're not sold on Robinson and you're not playing Kupp and you're not playing Henderson, then Higbee is a guy you definitely could get exposure to that Rams offense through, and you know, we know he can catch touchdowns. So those would probably be the three guys above 4K that I have interest in. I want to play Kyle Pitts, but I don't know that I can do it against the Rams.
Yeah, I do like Waller. I think he's clearly he's pretty much always going to be in play, but saw six targets last week. But I do like Waller. And then we've already talked about Hockenson, but I do really like Hockenson a lot at 4,700. Those are probably the two guys that I'd want to play. I mean, you know, in a stack or something like that, Mark Andrews, I think you could do that with Lamar Jackson or something like that. But, you know, sub 4K, I think we have to start the conversation off at Albert O. Love him this week at 3,700. Saw six targets last week against the Seahawks. And, you know, he kind of looks to be, you know, obviously the main, you know, pass catching option that we have at tight end for this Broncos offense. So $3,700 is just too cheap. Super explosive athlete. And so he's probably going to be involved in the red zone. And then we're still talking about kind of like a little bit more of a narrowed target distribution in terms of this offense because of, you know, some injuries that this team has had now, losing two of their wide receivers now, are, you know, one for the year and the other one for this week. And so I really, really like Albert O as an option, you know, sub 4K at $3,700.
Yeah, definitely think Albert O is in consideration. And if I was using Russ, Sutton and Albert O would be who I paired him with.
I think that makes, you know, a lot of sense. I think that it's a little bit different for sure, because I think a lot of people, like I said, are going to lean towards Jerry Jeudy. So anyways, is there anybody else below that, you know, in the no man's land of tight ends that you'd want to play?
I think
Mo Alley Cox is interesting. If we're talking about missing some options here, he's only 3,200. I think that could be something you could do as well. I think people are going to chase OJ Howard's like five snaps that he played last week, but he scored two touchdowns.
Five snaps, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
The one guy, Hayden Hurst,
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If Higgins were to be out, I think he's interesting. He's a little more, he's not bottom of the barrel. He's 3,600, but tight ends definitely can score against Dallas.
Yeah. I do think Brevin Jordan is actually, he's 2,600, man. And I know that OJ Howard is the one that scored the two touchdowns, but Brevin Jordan still played 60% of the snaps. He ran 23 routes last week. So, I mean, it's not like he wasn't out there running routes and everything. He just, you know, didn't see any targets really in that game. But so I do think that he is an option at 2,600. Like if you're wanting to pay down and you're down here and, you know, you have a team that you absolutely love at, you know, and you don't have anybody, let's say you have less than 3K left on, you know, to spend, I think going with somebody like a Brevin Jordan, who's only $2,600, you know, in a decent matchup against Denver, that they're going to probably be trailing. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. And so I do think that Brevin Jordan at 2,600, like I said, he's going to be out there. He's going to be running routes. And I think could see some opportunities here. And so, you know, I don't mind going to something like that. You know, I'm not saying that he is a must play or anything like that at all, but I think there's definitely a path to him and he's going to be out there as long as he's running routes. I mean, that's everything you're kind of looking for from the tight end.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you say.
All right. So is there any other tight ends you want to hit on? I don't think there is. I mean, to me, the top guys that I really want to play are Hockenson. Who's the other guy that I mentioned? I'm not even thinking about it. Yeah. Hockenson and Alberto are probably the two guys that I want to play the most. And that those are the two tight ends that I really like the most this week. And then, like I said, I think you could definitely, especially in a stack, Waller definitely makes a lot of sense.
I'm on the same page.
Yeah. All right. So let's go over to the defense where, you know, this week there's at least a little conversation because I'm not probably going to play any Bengals. I know they're $2,200 was the first thing that stuck out to me when I was kind of scrolling through this slate. But at $2,200, I get it. Like maybe there's not a huge leverage off of them. But they're going to be so incredibly popular because people are going to perceive this game as, oh, well, the Bengals are just going to absolutely roast the Cowboys. And like, I know it's only one game, so it's a very small sample size. But last year, I mean, we saw Cooper Rush last year throw for over 300 yards against the Vikings in a game last year, put up 18 fantasy points. Like, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that this is just going to be a game that they're just going to run over the Cowboys. And so, like, if they're going to be incredibly popular, like, I'm not sure exactly where they're coming in ownership, but I assume it's probably more than 20%. And that's just incredible. Like, why? No thanks. Like, just like you could play the Jets, I think, is an option. Who's a direct pivot off of them? Who's the same amount? Like, I think they're in play at $2,200.
Yeah, and the concern would be, right, that Cooper Rush isn't going to try to push the ball downfield as much as the normal offense would. I mean, he's probably going to just look for checkdowns and, you know, hit high percentage throws to the tight end and running backs, but. And I mean, they don't even really have receivers that can get open downfield. So outside of CeeDee Lamb, but until Gallup comes back. But yeah, they're the obvious play for good reason. I think Dallas has the lowest, if not second lowest total this week. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, Jets against Brissett, that is, you know, that's definitely a responsible pivot. I mean, even going up a little bit, I mean, if you want to play against your boy Trubisky, the Patriots are $2,900. That's not awful. You could definitely do worse.
I actually like the Steelers at
Steelers 20, at home. Yeah,
$2,800.
They will be missing TJ Watt, but.
Yeah. But that man, that Patriots offense is so bad.
They did not look good in week one.
But that's all sure. We heard all offseason, too, like through training camp and everything, was how bad. And if that's rare. For your team's beat reporters to be trashing your team, like you just don't usually hear it that much, like as much as like, and it was a steady drumbeat of how horrific this Patriots offense looked all preseason and all training camp and just this through all of it, like and so like you're right, TJ Watt out hurts in terms of their pass rush and everything else, but
they're still going to be good. I mean, they had 7 sacks in week one, and TJ Watt didn't get 7 sacks by himself.
Right. But I also think the Saints actually do make some sense at $2,400 at home. The Saints have really given the Bucs a lot of problems.
And they've got a lot of injuries.
Yeah. They have a lot of injuries to their wide receiver room. And so, I mean, I think they could get pressure. They also have a lot of injuries on that offensive line. So that offensive line is certainly not the same offensive line that it used to be. And so, I mean, they were just really fortunate last week. And, also, side note, like, I don't know what's going on with Tom Brady. Like, that dude, I don't know if you've noticed, like, just in the last, like, 3 weeks, just the way he looks. Like, he looks like he's lost, like, 30 pounds. Like, I noticed that whenever they're, like, at post-game last week against the Cowboys. And I'm like, that dude looks like he is, like, hasn't eaten anything in the last, like, week. Like, I'm serious. Like, it's like visually noticeable. And I actually saw someone on TikTok today post something about it, too. Like a month ago, what he looked like to now. Like, and it's like, stark difference of like how skinny he is. Like he looks like he shouldn't be playing on a football field right now. But anyways, this is a complete side note that matters nothing. But I do think the Saints do make some sense. They played them really well in the past. They certainly had the pass rushers to be able to get there to them. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally good with Pittsburgh at $2,800. That's only $600 more than the Bengals. And I'm just curious. I'm just going to ownerships real quick.
Well, it is. So I know this may sound crazy, but Alvin Kamara looks like he won't play. So hear me out. Would you consider playing Taysom Hill naked at QB for $4,400?
No.
Yeah, no.
Because Winston's playing, right? Winston's not hurt?
Yeah, Winston's playing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good. Bengals are projected 31%. The next highest is the Dolphins at 10%.
That's what I'm talking about. And like,
the Steelers are 4%.
There are other options.
I'm playing the Steelers.
Yeah, I like the Steelers a lot. And then, like I said, I like the Saints at 2,400. I think you could do that.
I'm good with it.
There's just better options.
Yeah, I'm not like, I'm not playing a 31% defense. I'm not doing it. I refuse.
Yeah, I'm out. And when they get you six, which is fine, but like it is what it is, you know?
And the Steelers get you 26 for only 600 more. Yeah. I guess what they got last week, they got 26 last week.
All right. So I think we're kind of on the same page. Do you have anybody else you really want to hit on? I mean, I don't.
No, I'm good.
We don't. I mean, for anybody wondering, we do not play any upper, you know, price defenses ever.
Upper price or chalk defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't. We live down at the bottom.
Yep. Bottom of the barrel, low owned, high upside pass rushes is pretty much what we look for.
Okay. So we've made it to that point of the show. We got through all that, but we still have a lineup to build.
Let's do it.
So start us off. Where do you want to start with?
Davante Adams. I said I wouldn't make a team without him this week. So
let's go. All right. Well, I guess we're going to go Derek Carr. So we'll go Derek Carr.
All right. Might as well go Waller then to round it out.
Waller. So at running back, I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to go with Antonio Gibson.
I like it. Let's make our run back Greg Dortch.
We're going to have a little bit of a mini stack here, and we're going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown.
All right. Let's also go. Let's see if we can make Saquon work. I'm not sure that that's going to work, actually. That's going to be cutting it close.
Well, let's see. So let's lock in our let's just go Jets, you know? I think we can do that right now. Let's see what that leaves. So that leaves 3,900 at flex. Is there anybody? We could go two tight end, and we could go Albert O. I mean, he's an option.
I'd also be down.
Or we wanted. How would you feel about dropping off of Antonio Gibson and dropping down to Chase Edmonds at 5,200? And that would leave us at 4,900 at flex.
Or keep Gibson and drop Barkley to Javonte, and it leaves 4,700 at flex. I think I like that better. Now you're in then you can play Curtis Samuel. Olave is there. Peoples Jones. Marvin Jones. Zay Jones. Dotson. There's more options there. Or we could do what you said and play Shepard. He's 4,900.
I have an idea. We could go. Oh, that's not enough. So we'd still have to stay there. I was thinking if we went Dotson and then dropped off of Gibson and then see who we could jump up to. Ooh, we could go Fournette.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Then. Oh, we could go. So we could have that little mini stack with Dotson and Amon-Ra. So we could go Carr, Fournette, Javonte, Jahan Dotson, Dortch, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Darren Waller, Adams, and the Jets with zero monies left.
I'm good with it. Lock her in.
Yeah. Let's do it. And it has been submitted. See how that goes. What we got here? Joe, hi. What third shift welcomes you?
Hello, welcome. Joe.
Happy to have you, Joe. You know, happy we can make your work life go a little bit easier. That would definitely be a little brutal overnight, you know, those overnight shifts. So.
A little easier when you're listening to fantasy football talk.
Yeah. And then Walido, thoughts on this lineup? Burrow, Saquon, Gibson, Chase, Amon-Ra, Deontay, Alberto, Dortch, and Saints D.
When playing Burrow, I tend to try to sneak two guys in there. I'd probably throw in Hurst at tight end instead of Alberto, and I think it's the same salary. But other than that, I think that team's good.
Couldn't you just though?
I'm not sure I'd play Deontay as well, but if you like Deontay, then I wouldn't blow that team up just to get rid of Deontay because I like that team otherwise.
Deontay is only 5,800.
Yeah, crazy. But they got Pickens in there now, and
yeah, but he still saw like 12 targets last week. I mean, it wasn't great because he only had 55 yards, but
yeah,
12 targets at 5,800. That's something. And then you also
that's because like, what's his average air yards? One is his He has average air yard. He doesn't even get the plural designation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't love Deontay for that, you know? Like, I feel like if you're going to go some, like anybody else, like, I think you could just easily just drop down a little bit. And I think there you go, like, a DJ Moore at 5,700 or a Christian Kirk.
I do like DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a great mini stat correlation with Saquon on that lineup, too.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do. I would swap Alberto to Hurst and swap Deontay to DJ Moore. That way you've got, and now two pass catchers with Burrow and a Saquon DJ Moore mini stack with Gibson and Amon-Ra mini stack. And Dortch is just a punt. He's a value play.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do too. I like that.
I agree.
All right. Well, we are better late than never, but here we are. We got it in. And, you know, we'll be back next week at our, you know, our normal scheduled time of Thursday evenings. So I appreciate everybody being a little patient. I hope everybody has a great week too. And, you know, we're out here to try to win that money. Let's take down some slates, and we will see you guys again very soon. Next week, less than a week away now. So have a great weekend, and we'll catch you on the next one. We out.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got. It measures in ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. DJ Roger! DJ Roger! You think you're a big man? I'll treat you like you're a little man. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just not wanting me to be someone else.